Hey, this is Tom Waddle. Thanks for listening to the Waddle and Sylvie podcast brought to you by Miller Lite, the presenting sponsor of the 2020 ESPN 1000 Virtual Fantasy Football Championship.
What is your name, please?
Waddle and Sylvie.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Yeah, there's baseball news, Waddle. Zach Plesac is going to remain in their minors, in their, you know, satellite facility. They needed a starting pitcher, and they've elected to call Mike Clevinger back up. But they have kept Zach Plesac down. And remember how well Zach Plesac was pitching to start the season.
Yeah, I mean, is there any service issue there? I mean, can they preserve service time with him with this, or is that not an issue?
I think this is still the punishment.
Or is this, yes, because he did the video.
Yeah, because he did the crime and then he did the video.
Because I don't think Clevinger did that, did he? I mean,
no.
Like, I know he didn't do the video, but...
It's interesting, and a lot of people are talking about possible. Black asked the question. We could talk about it later. Like, if you're the Cubs or the White Sox, I don't think they would trade them now. I saw one beat writer say, now is not the time to make a big trade. You do that in the offseason. But you inquire about Zach Plesac. I would. I would. Look,
no
he made
doubt.
A mistake,
yeah.
And he's young. And I would certainly talk to him and make sure that.
Yes.
Yeah, so we'll get to that in a little bit.
This is not a bad misstep in terms of his judgment. Bad judgment was exercised here, but this isn't something that would keep me from pursuing Zach Plesac next year.
Right.
I mean,
exactly.
Obviously you do your due diligence and you do your work and you make sure that, you know, this isn't something that could be a reoccurring problem with him in his decision making, but like the talent is there that you pursue him. If, in fact, your background information pans out.
Boy, it would be – you talk about adding – both teams could use him here. But on the South side, an additional pitcher, I think he grew up a Sox fan.
Tremendously
talented. You know what I mean? But I don't think the Indians and White Sox are hooking up with – at least it would be more complicated to make a trade between two division rivals. So this is what I texted you guys. I wanted you guys – we're always talking about the quarterbacks, and it's very, very important. And in case you missed it, neither quarterback had a good day today. Nagy talked about the accuracy, more about Mitch. Mitch's accuracy was not good. He didn't like that either quarterback wasn't testing their downfield throws more in 7-on-7. And it is very important, and there's a short time to get the starter, but there's also the rest of the team.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And as we were, you know, discussing, there are several key members of this team. And I asked Waddle and the group to come up with their top five guys, and this could be interpreted any way you want. Top five guys that you would say are on the that are important and they're on the spot for 2020.
Mine were easy.
I had a big group to choose
well,
from.
Well, I agree with that. Like my list was I had to narrow some things down.
So do you want to go from 5 to 1? Give us your list.
No, I'm going to go from 1 to 5.
Well, that doesn't build up any suspense.
Well,
I like the suspense. Who's
okay, well,
one?
Then why did you ask me? Why didn't you just say, hey, I'm going to lead us off and I'm going to go 5 to 1?
All right, you want me to give you my list then? Here's my list. And then Mr. Football Waddle can go and he can give us any direction
stick it?
He wants.
Yeah, I get John Lester is number one on my list of best Cubs of all time.
The way I interpreted my own topic is these are guys who are very important, who there are questions about, and they're on the spot to perform for the Bears to be good this year. They're very key members of the Bears. Number 5, Anthony Miller. They drafted him very, very high. They need another wide receiver opposite of Allen Robinson. Dependable. His route running hasn't been good. And it's you know what, cut in time for Anthony Miller. So I made him number 5. Number 4 is Jalen Johnson, another high-round pick that – cornerback is one of the most important positions in all of football. And very under the radar, Prince Amukamara was important for the Bears.
So much so that I would agree with you. I would say that defensive end is followed closely by cornerback in terms of the most important positions after the quarter. You go cornerback, you go pass rusher, and I think you could then make an argument for a cornerback to be number three or four on that list.
If you don't know who your starter is opposite Kyle Fuller, you're in trouble in football these days. You not only need two good corners, you need a good nickel corner too. So I think their second-round pick this year, Jalen Johnson. Third-round pick? When was Jalen?
No, he was second-round pick.
Second-round pick. Yeah. Jalen Johnson is on the spot. Number three is David Montgomery. Again, last year he was their first overall pick. They needed a running back. A lot of it had to do with coaching. Maybe it's not all on him, but the Bears have to have some sort of a running game this year. And David Montgomery was sort of a guy who, I don't know, I still don't know what David Montgomery is entering his second season. I think you're going to disagree with this one, Waddle, because you've been hyping this guy for a long, long time. And I agree that he had a great 2019, but he is so important opposite Khalil Mack, and he's getting up there in age, and he has been inconsistent in his career. Robert Quinn has to be a stud. Robert Quinn has to be a stud. He's getting big money. We know what was there last year with Leonard Floyd. Robert Quinn has got to be what he was last year with the Dallas Cowboys. And my number one player is Roquan Smith. I expected when they drafted Roquan Smith to be a star, and I'm still not totally sure about him. I don't know when it comes to dependability, can I depend on Roquan Smith? So that's my list. Miller, Johnson, Montgomery, Quinn, Smith.
Okay, you ready for mine?
Yes.
Number five is Jermaine Ifedi. He should be your starting right guard. For the reasons you mentioned about being able to run the football. That was a spot when Kyle Long left, or while he was hampered by injury, it was a significant hole on the offensive line. And those offensive linemen, in a lot of instances, they're like dominoes. When one goes down, they can, you know, that can lead to other issues as well. Number four for me is Charles Leno Jr. Because he's
all offensive line.
I'm just telling you, what was one of their biggest problems?
Right,
their offensive line. So if you want to run the football, like, I get what you're talking about with David Montgomery, but their inability to run the ball last year, in my opinion, had more to do with their offensive line than it did to do with David Montgomery. So I have a bigger question about Charles Leno Jr., who is going to be protecting the blind side of Mitch and is going to have to play a big role also in creating space in the running game. Number three for me is Jimmy Graham. You gave him $9 million guaranteed. The tight end position was arguably the weakest position collectively on this team. I don't care who's at quarterback. Somebody's got to step forward and give Mitch or Nick Foles a security blanket other than Allen Robinson. So Jimmy Graham's number three for me. Anthony Miller's number two for me. And for the reasons that you mentioned, look, again, you've got to have in this league, you've got to have more than one guy that other teams are afraid of. Or you'll see teams dictate coverage. Like, I'm surprised that Allen Robinson has been as efficient as he has been and as impressive as he has been. Not because I don't think he's a fantastic player. He is. But he draws so much attention from the other team because there aren't any other options that last year teams had to focus on. So Anthony Miller's got to be that guy that justifies them moving up in the draft and using that second-round pick and taking pressure off of Allen Robinson. And I went with a wild card at number one. I didn't go player. I went to head coach. The head coach is also the offensive coordinator and the play caller. And I didn't think, as much as I like Matt, I was not impressed with what he did last year in terms of putting Mitch in a position to take advantage of what Mitch does well. I didn't think he stayed committed to running the football. I didn't think they'd get Mitch out on the edge enough. I didn't think last year was a good year for Matt Nagy. And I said at the end of the year, that doesn't mean I want you to take the Denny's menu from him. I want him to be always, I want him to call the plays. I want to give him the opportunity to redeem himself after what he had, which was a very good rookie season as a coach in this league. So to me, outside of Mitch, I think Matt Nagy's the most important guy. I don't have a defensive guy on my list.
Yeah.
I have all offense.
I was going to put Ifedi on my list, but then, like you, I then was saying, well, wait a minute. I could go James Daniels, too. I could go Charles Leno. I could go Bobby Massey. I mean, you could put everyone but Whitehair on that list.
Yeah.
So that's why I just chose more than just, you know, one guy. I know you have two.
And by the way, I could have thrown the kicker in there, but like I'm not going to spend that time
propaganda,
on it.
Man. Yeah.
I didn't want to. I didn't want to light Mark and Batavia's fuse.
What do you got, Abdallah? Who's on your list?
Number five on my list is Khalil Mack. I know that.
That's a good one. Yeah, I was toying with that.
He's the greatest. It's the first year. Last year, he didn't have double-digit sacks. I think he would probably be the first to admit. I think he did admit that last year. I don't know if he took plays off, but he wasn't as motivated last year in certain games. So I'm looking at Khalil Mack as number five. Number four, and I hate to do this to my boy, but Eddie Jackson. Again, production dipped mostly because he was trying to help out Hot Clinton Dix over there. But still, a dude that was paid a lot of money. He was the highest paid until today when Buda Baker got paid. But you need to live up to that contract. Don't just get fat and happy off of that contract. There's a reason they gave you that money. His production needs to go up. Number three for me is Jalen Johnson, the rookie. He's going to get picked on. He's absolutely going to get picked on, and he needs to show up because this is another, if you know, there's going to be a theme here with my last few. And then number two is Roquan Smith. Obviously, we saw what happened with him in the offseason. We got to make sure that his production doesn't drop, and he's got to perform well. But number one for me is Cole Kmet because he's the highest pick this year. It might be the last high pick that Ryan Pace is allowed to make this year. He's the only weapon they added on offense for the Bears in the draft this year. So, excluding the line, obviously.
Well, they drafted Mooney, the wide receiver.
Yeah, late. Okay, whatever. But you know what I'm talking about. This guy was drafted so he can perform from day one. I know that Jimmy Graham's on the team, but everybody knows that that's also a joke.
I'm a little surprised. You spent four of your five choices on a defense that, even though they took a step back last year, still finished in the top five in points allowed per game.
You know why? Because they have to carry the damn team, Tom. That's why.
Those are the stars. Yeah, it's kind of like with the Cubs. The stars have to be the stars.
Exactly. When these dudes are averaging 13 points a game and can't score on
anybody.
Okay,
but if the stars play like the stars, you're still going to be 8-8 at best and not get to the postseason.
Well, I can't pick the quarterback because otherwise it would have been 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 would have been quarterback. Okay,
this is excluding the quarterback.
Yeah, this is excluding the quarterback, and not all of us. Oh, look at me! I'm Tom Waddle. I picked Matt Nagy. I'm going off the board. I picked Matt Nagy.
That's like that. You know what that is? That's Abdallah for take that.
You always got to be the contrarian, going opposite of everybody.
Contrarian. Their offense sucked last year. So what did I want? I wanted guys on offense that need to be better.
We said players.
That's right. That's why I gave you five offensive guys.
Matt Nagy used to play.
Matt Nagy doesn't put pads on. Last I checked, just a visor.
Take that.
Yeah, take that.
Give us your list really quick.
There's a lot of crossover here. Number five for me, Gibson or Bush? Who's the other safety starting along with Jackson?
Good question.
That's something I'm keeping my eyes on. Number four, I'm with you, Sylvie, Jalen Johnson, a rookie cornerback who you spent a second-round pick on. And Amukamara was huge for this defense. The consistency that he brought to the table, I think, is something we will miss. Even though I like Johnson, I like the pick, I think he'll be good. I'm concerned there. Number three, Anthony Miller. I think we all agree, right? He needs to be better.
He was on everyone's list, right?
Except for Mr. Football behind you.
Yeah, but Abdallah's doing a bit, so it's fine. number two.
You're better than that, Chris.
Give me the kicker.
Take that, Adam.
Whoever the kicker is, that's going to be something we're going to have to worry about now. I thought coming into this that we weren't going to have to worry about it until this week, when clearly that Pinheiro's either hurt or he's not kicking well or whatever's taking place.
How about that Carlos guy that they signed?
Yeah. Cairo. Santos. Yeah. Number one, I'm going to give you Jimmy Graham, because it may not be necessarily the impact, but if he's a terrible football player this year, that's going to be the nail in the coffin for Ryan Pace. If he doesn't figure out the quarterback position, we will all point back to the terrible signing of Jimmy Graham, how he didn't help the offense, the team's bad, this, that, and the other, and that's why Pace will be out of here in a year. So I think Jimmy Graham has to show up. I'm concerned about him adding to this offense.
What do you guys think, 312-332-3776, about our lists? Most important guys other than the quarterback on this Bears team that have to step up this season. And we'll talk to Dan Plesac about the Cubs, the White Sox, and Major League Baseball next.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Follow at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87 on Twitter. Boom, boom, boom. Boom, 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 boom
One of our favorite baseball guys is Dan Plesac. Does great work for the MLB Network. He's also one of our favorite guys. All-around great guy.
The best.
And he joins us right now on the Corona Hotline. Danny, how you doing today?
Good. Things are good in the Windy City with baseball right now, aren't they?
Whoa, they are.
Baseball City, USA.
The blue train is back on track. And the White Sox look like a good young team. Good time to be a sports fan of either one of the two Chicago baseball teams right now.
Absolutely. And it was, I was texting you. I was angry on Saturday about my Cubs, and we were talking about that. And then on Sunday, then I doubled back, and I booked you. And I'm like, let's talk Cubs. Let's talk Sox. And maybe at the end of the interview, I would ask you about your nephew, who we've highlighted before, who is pitching like a stud. And then all of a sudden, there's news about Zach. And now today, with Cleveland not electing to go back to him, what is his state of mind right now, and is he and the family pissed?
You know what? Listen, he made a mistake, and I don't know what the Cleveland Indians. Last I had talked to Zach, the last I had really been in touch with him was about 5 days ago. He's back at the alternate campsite, throwing, keeping ready. Whenever this was the decision that the Indians decided to make to call up Clevinger to pitch tomorrow night, I haven't spoken to Terry Francona, anybody with the Indians. Zach made a mistake. Mike Clevinger made a mistake. And you know what? They were sent down. And that's as all as I know as of right now. I wasn't anticipating he was coming back. That's a decision that's up to the Cleveland Indians. Listen, well, I talked about this last week on MLB Network. If you take – there are 60 players on all these teams. So there's 30 teams, 60 players on that whole squad. So there's about 1,800 players, and you're talking coaches and personnel, about 3,000 people in the game of baseball trying to keep this thing going, right? And I'm not naive to think that Zach and Mike Clevinger are the only two guys that have been out. But the bottom line is they were caught. And you know what? There are a slew of players, and all of our lives have changed. This COVID-19 has turned not only the sporting world, but the world in general upside down. And there are a lot of players, a lot of teams, a lot of coaches, a lot of front office personnel that are doing all they can do to keep this great game going. And I credit not only, you know, the players, the coaches, the staffs. It's not easy. They're tested constantly, just like the NHL and the NBA. These guys are going above and beyond to try to stay safe. And it was a poor lack in judgment by my nephew and Mike Clevinger. That's why they're at the alternate site right now. That's all I know, Sylvie, but that's where they're at right now.
Danny, do you think the mistakes that Mike and Zach made have probably led some of the other big leaguers to make better decisions throughout?
Tom, there's no doubt about it. Listen, you and I we've done this pro baseball, pro football thing, right? There are times that, you know what, have I ever broken a curfew? Yes. Have you ever? Probably yes. But there's a time and a place. And it's like almost kind of, I don't want to say picking your spots, but this COVID-19 in the sports world that we're in right now, you just can't. And I can understand where the Indians are coming from. They have a guy in Carlos Carrasco that was diagnosed with leukemia a year ago. They have a manager in Terry Francona has had some health issues. And so it's not about Tom Waddle and Dan Plesac and what we want to do. It's about the other 50 or 60 people that you come in contact with daily with the Indians, the Red Sox, the Brewers, that you name the team. You have a responsibility, and it was a poor lack in judgment, and hopefully both will learn from it, but that's where they're at right now.
Really quick, Dan, before we move on, you've done a lot of great things in baseball. I mean, you've made all-star teams, you've gotten some of the best hitters out, you've been an analyst for the Cubs, you've been a national analyst. Has this been harder or not so hard to talk about a family member when it comes to this personally?
It hasn't, because it is what it is. It hasn't been. And one of the things that I've tried never to do is to duck an issue. I mean, the issue is an issue. And Zach is a 25-year-old guy. He made a bad choice. And it hasn't been hard for me to talk about. I spoke to Zach after it was done. And I'm sure if he could do it over again, there are some things that he's done and said since, you know, the night out in Chicago that he'd like to have back. But as I've told him, he has to own this. He has to man up to it. And you know what? It is what it is. And you know what? Hopefully he and Mike Clevinger will both be better for this in the long term. But no, it hasn't been difficult at all for me to talk about it at all, Sylvie. No.
Danny, when you look at the entire league, whether it was the Indians or the Phillies or the Marlins, whoever it was, there have been hiccups. The Reds had a couple of games that they had to cancel. Are you pleasantly surprised that the league has advanced to the point or the stage they're at right now, been able to get as many games in as possible?
Tom, I thought at the beginning that they would be able to get this thing done. And then after about a week to 10 days when the Florida Marlins had the breakout and then the St. Louis Cardinals, you know, there was a time 2 weeks ago, Tom, where this thing looked like it could have spiraled out of control. And Rob Manfred had taken a lot of heat. What are they doing? When's it going to happen? But I give him credit. I give the game credit. And most of all, I'll say this. And being a former player, these players have been asked to perform in a way that they've never had to do before. They go and shift to and from the ballpark. It is such a different day-to-day than they're normally used to doing. And we have heard very little griping, very little complaining. And you add on that, as far as the ugliness that was right before, were they going to play? You know, was there going to be agreement between the owners and the players? How many games were they going to play? And I give the players a lot of credit, Tom, because they have had to perform. And when you flip on a game now, and I was a little bit, you know, cynical at the beginning. What's it going to be like without people in the stands and an empty ballpark? And what's the feeling? Is it going to? And I'm going to tell you, I turn on a game right now, and I credit the 30 players on all these teams, 28 players, 30 teams, because when you flip on a game right now, that intensity is there. Whether they're having to create it themselves because there aren't fans. I mean, you know, it really got to me over the weekend. You saw an aerial shot, you know, of Wrigley Field, and you see the Cubs and the White Sox, and it's hard not to think of what that electricity would have been in that ballpark over the weekend. You have this upstart White Sox team with some great young players. Jose Abreu has a series for the ages. Schwarber hits the big home run on Sunday. I mean, it's hard to look at this sometime and go, man, you know, this would have been such a cool August weekend in Chicago with two really good baseball teams. But I'll give the players credit. They have made the best of it. And when you flip on a game right now, the intensity level is there to me, just like if you watched the game a year ago in August. So I give the players a lot of credit.
Dan Plesac joining us, Waddle and Selvey on ESPN 1000. All right, let's say both teams make the playoffs like they're on track to, the Cubs and the White Sox. If I'm telling you I'd want you to pick one of the two teams that would go further, and I know they're in separate leagues, which one would you bet on?
I would more than likely bet on the Cubs, and I'm going to tell you why. They're getting a couple guys back. Chad Wood starting tonight and getting Quintana back into that rotation. John Lester, I think he might be going through a little bit of that dead arm what pitchers go through in spring training. Kyle Hendricks is legit, and who would have thought this? Like, if somebody would have said to either of you two guys, okay, the Cubs are going to have the front runner for the National League Cy Young Award winner, and it's going to be Yu Darvish, you'd have said, what? But that's how good he's pitching right now. You know, he kind of gave you a little bit of tease at the end of September last year. I just, right now, I love Dallas Keuchel, but there's a lot of question marks in that White Sox rotation. Giolito's been better. But I think if you look at the back of the baseball card and you look at the track record, and if you believe like I do that good pitching stops powerful hitting in the postseason, I just like the Cubs because Kyle Hendricks, he just is a good pitcher. And if Yu Darvish continues to pitch the way he's pitching, you add Lester to that mix, and then either or, you don't need five. If it's Quintana, Chatwood, whoever it is, Alec Mills, I just think the Cubs are situated to make a better run because their starting pitching is a little bit better right now.
Danny, do you believe there should be a minimum number of games played to actually qualify for a postseason berth?
You know, and I know it because you're looking at the Cardinals at 10-8. You're like, man, you know what? Like, geez, you know, they played 10 less games than the Cubs have played. How can you justify that? Tom, normally I would say yes. But in this crazy world of 2020, COVID-19, it's hard for me to gripe and complain. I'll tell you one thing I've been pleasantly surprised. The 7-inning doubleheader, I think, is a win. I think the fans like it. I think the players like it. And I think it's to me, I like it. And I don't know if it's here to stay, but something tells me that the baseball is going to push that way. And I thought there would be a lot of pushback against it. But I think I haven't heard very few. Maybe you have to be really old school, traditional, not to like it. But I think it's been good. Tom, I think this is a year where, when the season's over, if the Cardinals have played six or seven fewer games than the Cubs, the Brewers, whoever that, the Reds, whoever it may be, I think that's, we're just going to have to live with it in 2020.
How about if it's 12 or 14 games or a team?
Then you have an issue. Then you know what? If I'm a Cub fan, I'm like, I want the Cardinals playing doubleheaders the last 8 days. I wanted to play 20 games in 8 days.
Waddle doesn't love it. I pitched it to Waddle about the seven-inning game. If it's
I'm
here to stay next
guy
year.
I know I'm old. I get it. But.
Like Dan, I said to him, I go, what if next year you played 162 games over like 140 dates and you started the season later and you had less bad weather days? I mean, is that something possible?
Possible. I just know this. From the revenue that's generated from TV, you're going to have a hard sell having anything less than 162 games. I know this. Talking to players around baseball the last couple of weeks, I thought they would really be really cynical and not liking the seven-inning doubleheader thing. I've been surprised at the least pushback. And if anything, the players really have embraced the 2 7-inning games.
Interesting. On the South side, you mentioned briefly some of their pitching issues and whether or not they have enough in that rotation to get them to where they want to go. That lineup and the guys that they have under their control for the next 6 to 8 years, Danny, has this got a chance to be one of the special groups at the dish that we've seen in quite some time?
Tom, it does. They are right now, and not just on the South side or North side in the Chicago metro area, they are kind of the talk of baseball as far as this is. Now, this is a stretch. Now, I don't know where this is going to lead, but this team reminds me of where the Cubs were like in 2014, 2015, right, and where the Astros were on that rebuild. You need some guys. You need some real guys. You need Rizzo. You need Baez. You need Bryant. You need some real players, and these guys are that. They're like Springer, Altuve. These guys that the White Sox have, not only do they look the part, like they act the part, they don't act like they're shocked to be in the big leagues. And then you throw a guy like Abreu, who's just this constant, steady guy for them to look up to. And I'm going to tell you, a guy on that team that I know he gets a lot of credit, but Tim Anderson is some kind of good ball player. This guy is legit. And I know Eloy Jimenez and Luis Roberts, they're stealing a lot of attention. Tim Anderson is a serious baseball player, and that's why I think if the White Sox pitch, whether it develops this year, they can go out and make a trade, acquire some free agency. Look out, because they are a team to be reckoned with, because these everyday position players that they throw out there, they're no joke. They're legit.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if Tatis was still on this team?
Oh, right? For James Shields.
Oh.
Wow. Big game, James.
I know. All for that. Danny, you're the best. Thanks for the honesty. I appreciate everything that you do for us. Watch MLB Network, Dan Plesak.
Thanks, Danny.
Number one. Thank you.
You got it. Hey, I'm ordering a new conductor's hat. Whoa, whoa. Get on board the big boat train, baby.
There you go. There's Dan Plesak for both teams leading the charge, and good stuff, too, on his nephew, Zach. All right, Would You Rather is coming up next.
Coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Hey, this is Coach Mike Ditka.
Greg Olson here.
This is Stacey King.
Hey, this is D. Rose.
What up? This is Ludacris.
Hello, this is Nick Enberg. Would you like to play a little? Would you rather? Oh, my.
Yeah, let's go here. It's all brought to you by my friends at Grand and Western Liquors, located at the corner of
Grand and Western.
In the heart of Chicago, free parking, and they pass the savings along to you, making it super, super easy. Whatever you drink, they've got. And they are absolutely awesome. So check them out today at Grand and Western Liquors. All right, you guys tweet us using the hashtag WSWouldYouRather for those in the Twitch group, and we encourage you, if you want a new way to experience the Waddle and Sylvie show, to watch, listen, and interact, you
I
can
just
be
picked
in the...
my nose.
Did you really? Did
I
you
scratched.
Click it at the camera?
No. I wasn't searching for a bug. I just was like, I had an itch.
That's what they all say. Just embrace
no,
it.
No, no, listen.
You pick your nose, you pick your nose.
Dude, if I want to dive deep, I'm going to dive deep. I was just saying, I was just scratching the inside of my right nostril.
Sometimes there's a scratch. Yeah. Needs to be itched.
Yeah, but in COVID, Chris, you don't really want to touch your face these days, they say, so.
I washed my hands and took a Clorox towel to my hands. Well, it's, by the way, it's my nose. I'll pick it as often as I want to.
Okay, well, you pick your nose then.
Yeah.
So you can watch on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. What was that? What are you picking now? Are you picking something else?
It's stuck. My finger is
He's doing
stuck.
A joke for the Twitch viewers.
It's, my finger is stuck.
His hand, his finger is so far up his nose, it's disappeared.
You're an animal.
Wow.
Oh, help me, Abdallah, come back here.
You've got to be touching brain. You're so far up there.
For his next trick, Tom Waddle will pull your nose right off your face.
Hey, he's okay, everybody.
Thespian.
Got your nose.
Someone said, trim those nose hairs, old man.
No, I don't have to trim them because you know what I do? I pull them out. And every time I pull them out, my eyes water because it hurts so bad.
Why wouldn't you just trim them?
I don't know, because I don't have a trimmer on me. If I'm driving up the highway and I feel a nose hair, I'll pull it out. Like, I got one right here. I got one. Zoom in, Abdallah.
No.
Yeah, zoom
Let's
in.
Let's see how much we can zoom in here.
Well, I bet you that my eyes will water.
Like, this is what the Twitch audience wants and needs.
Ready? that one wasn't as bad.
Sylvie, did you hear that? I heard that.
Did the hair come out of
my
nose?
Did you hear a pluck?
Yeah.
Like, the worst ones are the ones that are right, like, here on the under part of your nose. Like, if you've got one just coming out of your nostril, those don't hurt. I mean, like, that's
Are your
easy.
Nose hairs blonde, gray,
gray,
or dark?
They're gray.
Yeah?
Yeah. Like, ooh, that's the only hair on my gross. Body that's gray. I mean, that may be a little bit too much information.
Your beard, too. You got some
that's
gray
That's true.
In your
that is true. And I get a couple of, like, really long ear hairs. But, like,
can you believe Twitch is free for what you're getting right now? Can you believe this?
Hold on. Like, I've picked them all. I picked them all on the way home last night and on the way in today.
I'm
like,
telling you.
I don't have any nose hair. Oh, there's one.
Oh.
Look at that. Can you see that, Abdallah?
I'm looking right now.
Do you see that?
Let's see.
My wife is probably writing
Zoom
up
in the, on this.
She's probably signing divorce papers right now.
Oh, that's this.
Oh, that, whoa.
That's a nose hair. That's a nose hair.
That looks like as long as your arm hair.
No, it's not. It's tiny.
Look at that thing.
That's just a nose hair.
We captured it on Twitch.
Are you excited to sit there next, Chris?
No.
Wash your hands.
At 6 o'clock, that's a quick changeover.
Yeah.
Here, watch. I got the pledge.
See, this is,
that's
is what I'm telling you.
What do you mean?
What'd you do with that hair, though? It's just in that room surfaces. Floating about?
You can't catch COVID from a nose hair.
What'd you do with the hair? Did you put it in the trash?
I ate it.
You could have touched germs and then put it in your nose, and that's how
you
get it.
Well, you know what? I'll see you guys sometime like 2 weeks from now. Okay?
This is this is why I want to do the Twitch challenge for our local shows, Cap and Hood. Carmen and Yurko and us and Black and Abdallah.
What's
of
the
course.
Weirdest thing you can do on Twitch?
How could we get between the shows? You get to say, hey, catch me at 2 o'clock on this day, and I'm going to be doing this, and let's see who gets the highest audience for that. That
you
challenge.
Saw Marchi and Grico's split pants yesterday,
right?
That was
so nose
good.
Hair and split pants, and close up of butts. That's what you're getting right now. All right, so what's on the Would You Rather thing? So you can enter your Would You Rathers on Twitch, too. That was the point of all that.
Uh-huh, thanks.
Alex wants to know, would you rather have Lionel Messi as the Bears kicker or LeBron James as the Bears quarterback?
That's good. I think LeBron as the Bears quarterback would be special. I don't think it could be worse than it is
He's
right now.
He's 36.
I know that. But, like, who cares about the kicker again?
I would take Messi because, like, you can draw, you can connect what he does to what we're asking him to do. Like, drawing the connection between LeBron at 36 as a basketball player to being a quarterback in the NFL is a different, that's a longer leap than to think Lionel Messi can be a kicker.
6'9", 260.
I got it. Well, maybe play tight end then.
Yeah, that's what everyone said he would dominate.
Oh, I hear he was a great high school football player.
I'm going quarterback. I don't care about four kicks.
You've been so mentally taxed by the quarterback situation
right.
here.
I've been scarred.
Yeah.
I flinch every time it's brought up. And rightfully so.
How about
what
we
else?
Could just get LeBron play basketball for our Bulls?
Yeah.
That'd be good.
People wouldn't want that though. You know Bulls.
That's
fans.
So dumb. That's such a dumb take. I don't want LeBron on the Bulls. Stop. stop. I'll start picking my nose hairs on Twitch again if you don't change that take.
Take that, Tom.
What's next, boys?
Nick has a good one, and I'm going to tweak it just a tad. Would you rather see 10 minutes into your future or be able to go back at any time and change 10 minutes of your past?
I want to go back and change. Why do I?
Yes,
like
I'm
going
agreeing.
Into the future, like having a
so the
heads
question
up
is,
on 10 minutes?
Would you rather have the ability to always see 10 minutes into the future or the ability to, whenever you want, go back 10 minutes and change what you've had, whatever took place?
Yes. Go back 10 minutes is all you can go back
that's
to?
That's all you can do. This is the movie. It's 10 minutes. You can only go
it's
back 10
minutes.
Minutes.
The name of the movie is called 10 Minutes.
I like
minutes.
This.
You can see 10 minutes into the future or...
Who came up with this one?
Nick.
That's good, Nick.
Yeah, it's really good, right?
And it's a movie called 10 Minutes.
Well, yeah. That's what we're coming up with. We're workshopping this. I think that'd be an exciting movie, right?
So you is your decision-making...
Since I can only go back 10 minutes, I'm going into the...
Okay, think about this,
but
too.
Here's the catch,
no,
right?
No, wait a second. If you can always look into the future 10 minutes ahead,
uh-huh.
you don't need to go back because you can make all of your decisions based on what possibly is going to happen 10 minutes
unless,
from now.
Unless what you find out in your future vision... does not allow you
right.
enough time
that's
in 10 minutes to alter what's going to take place.
Yeah, now I'm
see, now
my
this
head's
movie just
explode
got real.
I'm going back.
This just got real.
Think long, think wrong. I'm going back 10
but
minutes.
But if you go back, I mean, 10 minutes, how much time do you have to go back
all
and
right,
figure something out?
All right, stop. Now you're
I was
my
just
head
thinking
hurt.
About this. Have you guys ever watched the movie? It's an older movie, and it popped up for me on Netflix called Safety Not Guaranteed.
No.
It's with Jake Johnson. It's an older movie about time travel. Would it like?
Is there any nudity in it?
No, there's no nudity in it. But anyway, do you want nudity
no,
in a
just
time travel movie?
Just asking.
Like if you were given the choice without minutes and you only had a one-way time machine, but you could come back, obviously, would you go into the future or want to go to the past?
I think
past?
I'd go in the past to make sure that mistakes weren't made or that I could prevent things or...
But you've already experienced some of that. Could you, like, in the future, you could experience stuff that you may never, ever see. I was getting all twisted up over that question over the weekend. So that was a time.
But if I could
rather.
Go back in time, I'd know what the lottery numbers are.
Right. You could profit from it.
But someone would have already bought those lottery
numbers.
Yeah,
you could do that in the future, too. You could. I mean, that's the Back to the Future 2 plot line, right? Is that you could go to the future, find out.
Right.
Which way could I manipulate the lottery the easiest?
Hey, wouldn't it be lottery? You'd have to be live betting sports. So you could do like.
I think both, right?
Yeah. So you'd have to, you
10
know.
10 minutes, though. Things not necessarily.
But you could bet like live bet, you know, who scores next. And you could live bet, you know, an outcome of a close game if you saw in the next 10 minutes. You can't do the lottery tickets because that lottery ticket could have been bought a week in advance.
Like think about if you were Sylvie and you were able to go back in time and to see some of those old-timey Cubs that you were talking about last week. You could show up at Wrigley and be like, wow, that guy was quite the hurler.
Did you see
you could go see
tickets?
Babe Ruth.
Yeah, right.
Look, you could go see Babe Ruth in the past or you could see what football looks like in 100 years from now. You know, or what sport
I need a drink.
Exists.
I need a drink.
The spoiler alert, the Bears are still having a quarterback competition.
Wow.
That's right. Right. And it's LeBron against Messi.
Oof.
Do you have a couple more that we could do next as well?
Sure.
And I'm gambling. Speaking of gambling, and I'm officially gambling.
Usually
and
that just means you're taking, you know, your underwear and it's in whatever.
But for the first time on my phone, I am legally doing it, and I won last night.
Did you?
Limbaugh, I'll tell you how, and that's all coming up next.
This hour brought to you by our great partner, Twin Peaks. Their Oak Brook and Warrenville locations are now open. Go support them and enjoy some eats, drinks, and scenic views.
It can be sad when you miss your favorite interview. Don't despair. Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app. It's Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000.
Sam Adams is celebrating the return of sports to Chicago. Every day, we're highlighting one of the best sports bars in the Chicagoland area. Today, we salute Legends Grill and Bar in Mokena. Text Sam Adams to 31996 for your chance to win a Sam Adams Summer Cooler. Legends Grill And Mokina and Sam Adams helping you celebrate the return of sports.
Were you picking your nose again when you were supposed to be paying attention?
Not, He jumped the beat again. Like, I'm going to decide when I want to jump in. So I start reading, and then Abdallah's screaming in my ear after halfway in. Go!
Let's go. I told you during the break.
Let's go!
Yeah, he messed. It's either a beat one or you count to eight. That one was a beat one. That one's very easy.
Do you go at the second one? Is that afterwards?
How did I miss the beat there? Like, what do you mean? Like,
you go when all the instruments start playing, not just like two of the instruments.
How do I know how many damn instruments are playing?
It's kind of a popular song.
I get it, but I'm not musically inclined. So to tell me to jump in, I said
I was going to tell you to go. We've been.
You are musically. You want to play the guitar
one day.
I'm going to have to learn to be musically.
You're a countryman.
Inclined.
You know the beats.
It means you like country.
Come on.
I'm a countryman?
Yeah, you like country.
What the hell does that mean?
Countryman.
You like country.
Countryman. That's what they call people, like country now?
This is a really dumb show in a lot of ways.
Yeah, it's fun.
Well, they're all dumb.
I'll have you know, 2 to 6. I'll have the three of you know that the E in ESPN
is for dumb.
Geez. It stands for entertainment.
How many times a day does he do this with you guys?
And when Black, we're still waiting for that. We're still waiting for him to hit that mark.
Do you know Riley Fingers is 74 years old?
Yeah, does he still have the twisted mustache?
The handlebar mustache?
Yeah. What are we doing?
Does he still wax it up?
I don't know if he's waxing on and waxing off. I don't know.
Isn't that the way you get the mustache like it?
Yes, you gotta wax that thing. But I'm watching television and they're saying happy birthday.
Oh, there he is. Billy Ray Cyrus. He doesn't have it.
Billy Ray Cyrus.
I bet Billy Ray Cyrus is 53, just like me.
He is.
Wow.
Why'd you just tell us a random birthday?
Actually, he's 59. I lied.
How do you mix up 53? He's like a dog.
Because Billy Ray Cyrus and Blake Lively are right next to each other, and Billy Ray Cyrus is 59, and Blake Lively is 33, and so I mixed up 59 and 33.
This is a dumb show.
Because I was looking at Blake Lively a little more. Tim Burton is 62. Happy birthday to him.
Isn't Blake Lively married to Ryan Reynolds?
Yes. Rachel Ray is 52. Happy birthday to her.
What up,
friend
Rachel?
She's a friend of the show.
What's your favorite Tim Burton movie? You mentioned Tim Burton.
I did.
I don't like any of the Tim Burton movies.
How about a better movie, guy? Sean Connery is 90 today.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. 90 years old. They bring a knife, you bring a gun, right? Something like that.
Hey, Tom, that's the real Bond. Gene Simmons is 71.
You don't have to tell me, young man.
I'm just letting you know.
Of course. Roger Moore, not so much.
Roger Moore's still good. Man with the Golden Gun.
Listen, my two favorite Bonds were Sean Connery. And I like Daniel Craig.
Daniel Craig was good.
Speaking of music, Elvis Costello is 66.
Why are we doing this?
Just roll with it. Just go with it. Don't ask questions. Just roll.
Waddle brought it up. I'm having vodka.
I'm having vodka.
From Grand and Western. Give the Grand and Western gift card to the guy with the
Nick.
The time travel.
You know what? I was in between all of these things on my desk. I was trying to think that through, and I still couldn't do it.
It blows your mind. I know people in the chat were talking about it, too.
Alexander Skarsgård is 44.
Who's that?
He's a movieist.
He's a movieist.
Rachel Bilson is 39.
Oh, yeah, from The O.C.
Yeah, Rachel Bilson.
My youngest is watching The O.C. now.
It's great. Season one's fantastic.
Stop it. Don't tell me it's great.
What do you mean, stop?
Come on.
I just told you.
Don't.
Season one's great.
How about this? The Wizard of Oz was released today in 1939.
It was.
Pass.
I read that earlier. Yeah,
Bring It On
still a
was released
movie.
In 2000.
Was that the first movie that was in color? Was Wizard of Oz, what was the first movie that was actually not black and white? It was seen in
You're
color.
Usually good at facts like these, so it would not
Don't you remember, like, when it was black and white, and then when she went to where, to Oz?
Could you just Google this entire segment should not have ever existed anyway.
I told you it's been like an off-the-air conversation.
Desperado was released in 1995.
Yeah!
All right, in 2 minutes, we're going to talk to Jesse about baseball.
And you think that conversation is going to be any more organized?
We'll see. We'll try our luck in 2 minutes, thanks to our friends at Legal Rideshare.